Hello, listeners. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the previous content with Chelsea Manning, Johnny Christmas, and all of our friends. Yeah, so if you're using Android and have a need or a desire to have your be able to listen to us and be able to do other things on your phone, the VLC client does actually work. So right now, can you guys hear all right? Okay. So maybe you guys should introduce yourselves. Can you use this one instead?
Okay.
And, oh man, what am I stuck on? Oh, tape.
I think it's good now.
Okay. And that was like that. Can you say some words?
Words. Oh, there I am.
There you go.
That's okay.
Better. That's better. Okay,
let me check your mic. Is your mic all right? Hello? There you go. That's on. Thank you, Beaches.
Yeah, I'll
Thank you for being here.
Okay. All right, I think we're okay now. All right, so, from the top.
Okay. All right. So, I'm here. My name is Brianne Hughes. Last night I hosted the spell check Hacker Spelling Bee, which was a fantastic, lovely, wonderful time, starting at midnight, ending before 2 a.m. It was a spelling bee that I created that's based off of the cybersecurity style guide that I compiled while working at Bishop Fox. It's a free resource that anyone can get at cybersecuritystyleguide.com as a PDF or a searchable browser. It was just a really lovely time, and I'm so glad to be here with the excellent winner of the bee. If you would like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Pink Girl, and I just randomly decided that I wanted to join the spelling bee, and won mostly through luck, but partially because I could spell webdav with the proper capitalization.
Yeah, that one. I honestly, when that came up, I felt bad. This is the first time that I've done this in a full-fledged way. I had a sort of test run, but this was, I had about 300 words prepared, and this is the most words we'd ever gone through. And so, like, right as I would sort of open up a slip of paper, because I have all these physical pieces of paper I was using, I'd be like, oh no, I wish maybe I should have done a different one. But I didn't want to seem like, you know, nepotism, like I was choosing things based off of the person.
Yeah.
But I realized it could use a little bit more curation, but I think it was a really lovely event. There's something just sort of inherently, you know, tense and cathartic and communal and wonderful about a spelling bee, because everybody's had some sort of, you know, traumatic or triumphant experience as a child. It just seems like a weird part of growing up in America.
We like competition, I guess.
Yeah, so it sort of it taps into that thing, and so, you know, if you hear a term, you know, it might be like, oh, it's so easy, I can't believe I got a hard one. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that's not mine. I would have gotten that one wrong. And so, yeah, as you were saying, Pink Girl, it's really hard to make sort of a fair spelling bee because everybody has a different experience, and if you're not familiar with a certain programming language or tool, or you know, you just haven't come across that word before, it's a lot harder to do. Was there any terms in particular besides webdav that stood out to you that you spelled or someone else did that you...
Oh, I definitely also got really lucky during your dystopian one, I think.
Yeah.
Or like the like sci-fi mm-hmm. themed one, because I just am not familiar with that culture at all. So I think my word was like totalitarian, which was like a very normal word.
Yeah.
I mean, I am familiar with Cylons, but I don't, like, I'm just not familiar with that culture, so.
Yeah, Cylon culture. yeah, just, yeah, part of the style guide, like, a lot of it is sort of for technical formal reports written by pen testers, but, you know, a lot of people only know about hacking or think they know anything about hacking because of weird, bad depictions from fictional versions or kind of inspirational, aspirational, futuristic things from sci-fi. And so it seems like it was a good idea to have in the style guide this sort of breadth of that whole universe of terms, because if somebody's talking about what we do at Bishop Fox, they're also going to mention Mr. Robot, and they're going to mention hackers. And actually, Bishop Fox is named after two fictional people, Martin Bishop from Sneakers, who's played by Robert Redford,
yeah.
And then Lucius Fox, who runs Wayne Enterprises for Batman when he's doing Batman things. So, yeah, my company's named after fictional people, so it seemed kind of a natural thing to include that sort of fantastical fictional side. Since, you know, we don't live in, like, an industry ivory tower. Like, there's a whole internet, and it's yeah. It's serious, and it's silly, and it's sexy, and it's, you know, dangerous, and it's all these things. And so the style guide tries to...
Definitely not in a vacuum.
No, exactly. So, yeah, rather than only include words that should be in technical reports, we want to include, like, what are people going to use in these talks? Because they're going to use an acronym, and they're going to use it, and then the next talk's going to use that same acronym, but it means something else. And so it's really helpful to sort of let people know what's going on.
I have an anecdote about that, actually. So we were talking about one of the next talks that's coming up, so I might have to scoot out a little early. But so I actually come from a science background.
Really?
So we throw around the term PI a lot, which means principal investigator, which is like the professor that you work with that... has like a lab and like produces all, like writes all the papers and but apparently in HOPE and this like hacker culture, it also means private investigator, which is like the first time I actually like heard that term used in that way. So
yeah, acronyms definitely get used a lot. You have things that just, it's the same acronym and then it means different things in different contexts, so having something that kind of can define that and help.
Yeah,
context is really
and
good.
And even if everybody, so one issue is if there are multiple meanings and you, they're just clearly different things that it could mean. One other issue is a term that people think means the same thing to everyone and it doesn't. So like red teaming.
Yeah.
So as a security consulting firm, we have clients who will ask for like a red teaming assessment, but it's really hard to know what they mean. Sometimes people are just using it as like a sexier term for pen testing.
Yeah.
And sometimes they mean like stealth, or sometimes they mean kind of in that military way of, you know, go for the target and who cares about collateral? Like you can take over a satellite as long as it gets you to the to the trophy. And so it seems like, you know, it's a popular word, but it's really hard to know what people mean from day to day. What aspect of it they're trying to focus on. So, yeah, a lot of this was about clarity. Were you ever in a spelling bee, Beaches?
No, actually, I don't think I ever was in a spelling bee.
Wow.
Yeah, somehow I was in band,
okay.
So I think I just I dodged that bullet.
What did you play in band?
I started with percussion, and then I did trumpet for about 2 months, and like, nah, you really need to switch to like trombone or euphonium. So then I did euphonium for a really, really, really long time until high school, and they were like, well, we really like when you play euphonium, but for the marching band, we really need more people to play sousaphone. So they just kept like, yeah, you just need a bigger instrument. Just keep going. And then... It's really kind of awful because I'm like, I would really like to buy like a euphonium or a sousaphone. They're very expensive.
Oh yeah.
And they take up a lot of space, and I'm just like, I can't do that with my life right now.
That's so interesting. It's like when I played softball, I was like, oh, I really like being at this position. They're like, yeah, but you're so good at that. You should do this other position. Like, but now I'm sad. It's like that that theory of people always get promoted until the level above there. Where they actually should be.
Yeah.
Because then they can't progress anymore. And you're like, you really should have stayed down one more step when you were good at this. That's so tricky. I just wanted to, I was trying to remember, there's so many words. But the meaning changed depending on context. The other big one that comes up is crypto.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know there's literally a pin that says, you know, crypto means cryptography, that has like the hacker's guy out the window. And I think it's such a weird choice to have that denial. Like, it does, I don't know who it's helping to be like, there's no ambiguity. Like, well, there clearly is, or you yeah. wouldn't be clarifying. So I think, you know, as somebody who was an outsider to security, like I grew up in the Bay Area, but I just know HTML from like LiveJournal.
Yeah.
And so sort of coming into this, you know, if it's something I'm not sure about, our reports, they're not just for developers, they're also for their manager and for the CISO and maybe the executive of the whole company. And so it's in this guide, a lot of it is not trying to say, you know, here is our proclamation from on high, and yeah. say like, hey, this is how people are actually using it. And if you're randomly hearing it, it could mean this or this, depending on the context. They might mean cryptocurrency, they might mean cryptography. And if you're a writer, please be aware that this is confusing, so please spell it out the first time you use it, yeah. so people know what is going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, that's good writing practice. You should always, so the first time you're ever writing, like if you're going to say DNS and you're going to reference it, you should spell it out the first time and then in parentheses, put like DNS,
yeah.
and then you can just be like, okay, and now I'm just going to do DNS, and everybody should know that when I say DNS, I mean domain name.
Exactly, service. Yeah. So just trying to be a little friendlier. Everybody likes to be welcomed in, and most people don't know what most acronyms mean, so...
Yes.
I don't know. It's not really a time saver if you actually have to go back and explain it, or the people actually don't know what you're talking about. Like, your message does not work.
Yeah.
If people don't know why you just said a bunch of letters at them.
I definitely agree. They can definitely, you have to be like, well, what does that mean? What are these three things? What is that actually? And then you have to go and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Pink Girl, we talked briefly about this before the, coming online, but so I'm going to be doing another version of this spell check spelling bee at DEF CON in a couple of weeks, and you said you will also be at DEF CON.
I will be.
And so it's so tempting to have some sort of you know, wrestling style plot line that you could maybe come back to defend your championship. How do you feel about that as a possibility? We can reserve a spot for you.
Sure. I'd be down for that. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I actually, it really spoke to me when you were like saying that this competition could be like a redemption from like, prior like downfalls. And so I actually, the only spelling bee I ever participated in before this was in middle school, when essentially, I don't know who decided this, but they made like every single student in my middle school participate in the spelling bee.
Oh man, and that's rough.
I got out like in the second round, so
yeah, it's very unfair. I've been obsessively word focused my whole life, and so like spelling bees are the like one of the very few places where it comes in handy, but I'm also kind of a jerk in a spelling bee because I study historical linguistics and I really love etymology, and so be like, oh, your term is axolotl, and I'll be like, oh, is that from Nahuatl? That sounds a lot like a Nahuatl word. So it's like, I'm pretty intolerable, but I've also lost most of the spelling bees I've ever been in because I kind of overthink it because I know these etymology things. So it's like, oh, dilapidated, and in my head I was like, oh, that's probably used to be dilapidated, because lapidus, like, those are stones, so it's like it's lost stones and it's dilapidated. And so I was like, well, in that case there was an S and they got rid of it, so it's probably double L. It isn't double L, it's a single L. But I overthought myself into a third place in that spelling bee. So yeah, it's
better than the second round.
Yes. but yeah, it's difficult, especially if you're conscripted into doing a spelling bee, that even though you're like, I didn't even ask for this and I'm still feeling bad about myself, like, it's so rude.
Okay, I think I'm gonna deck out.
Okay, is there anything you want to plug or say before you go, because you're a fantastic winner? I'm so glad you did it.
Mostly I'm just lucky. Okay. All right, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate you coming here.
Thanks, big girl. So I just wanted to show you the badges. So she won and she got a 3D printed champion badge.
Okay.
That said Hope 2018 Spell Check Champion.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
That door is complicated sometimes.
It does seem complicated. So one of our consultants at Bishop Fox, Kelly, who's a Justified _ Salt, she just got a 3D printer. She was super psyched about using it. And so as we were getting close to this, it was like, oh, we should make badges. This will be amazing. So all of the spellers who participated got a badge that all of them are alphabetical. So it was... We had 14 spellers, so that was A through N.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have some extras. they're just... The actual champion badge, she chose to leave it in her room today. She's a very humble winner. But it said Hope 2018 Spell Check Champion. And then it has some of our adorable B hexagon logos around it, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. But trying to... You know, it really is a challenging feat to win a spelling bee, because it's a lot of it is mental.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it is luck of the draw. But she, there were a couple of competitors who were like, you know, I had my eye on her from the beginning. She seemed like a threat, like, but it was a nice, combination of kind of old school people. One of the guys who was in the social engineering panel yesterday, where they were, calling random people to make trouble. He was in there, and a couple of the organizers, but also some pretty new younger people, and yeah, it was a nice kind of slice of the conference. And unfortunately someone got out in the very first round, which the whole point of the first round was just to have nice compound words that everyone could, you know, have a morale boost and sort of get into the flow of things. But unfortunately the first speller got out on bandwidth. But yeah, in general it worked pretty well. I have the paper bags that I brought with me that have all the little slips of paper in them. I'm not sure if I should show them.
You should. Sure. Why not? I mean, it. Sadly, we don't have the video. We have a camera set up and no stream going.
Yeah.
Because it's.
It's tricky.
Know.
That's fine.
But also, like. So we're on this side of the wall. We're here in the booth, and on the other side, there's a Segway track.
That's right.
You probably noticed that somebody drove by, and the wall.
I did notice
vibrated.
That.
So it's probably best that we don't have that going, because it would just be like random earthquake checks all the time on the video feed. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So as I say, the first round is supposed to be friendly. So like an example word is sandbox.
Okay.
We had like, you know, checksum and bandwidth and ringtone and subtweet and sort of things like that. Round two, sort of more the same, but not necessarily compound words.
Mm-hmm.
So, like this one I pulled out is query or proxying.
Proxying.
Yes, because it's awkward.
It is awkward.
And a lot of it, as I say, is mental. Round three were all terms that appear in the guide but not as the head words. So the actual cybersecurity style guide has about 2,000 terms in it. And a lot of them just have the head word. It just says, like, here's how to write it.
Mm-hmm.
We also, if it's in monospace font, it appears that way. But for ones that have entries, we decided that we would also count the text from the entries. So I have the term lossy, which appears in the UDP entry.
Okay.
It's like,
yeah.
Lossy is not a long or complicated word, but it is a weird one.
It is weird.
Just
I would
to think
agree
about
with that.
It's about, oh, it loses things.
Yeah.
So it's lossy.
It's lossy.
Round four, all the terms had at least one capital letter. So that's sort of the evil twist of this bee, is that capitalization counts, and there's so much random camel case in the world.
Camel case, Pascal case, whatever kind of
right.
case. SpongeBob case, the best case.
Yeah. the so we like we have Pastebin and Dropbox and BuzzFeed and the classic example, which is GitHub.
Yeah.
Do you capitalize the H in GitHub?
I think you do, don't you?
Okay. What about the H in Pornhub?
I think also that is.
The GitHub one is capital, but the Pornhub one is not.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just very random. It sort of like encompasses all the things that could happen on the internet. And then after round four, everything is sort of randomly mixed in as capitals or not.
Okay.
So it's sort of an extra aspect. So round five is sort of continuing to be a variety of things. We have like Boolean and BlackBerry and DuckDuckGo. And so...
Do you have any references in the guide to like Endian or Endianism?
Yes. Yeah, okay. little Endian, I believe, is in there.
Not Big Endian, just Little Endian?
That's a good question. I don't know. I
How about Middle Endian?
Is that a... What?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure nobody uses it because it's really weird.
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it kind of does. So if you think about, like, date formats, you can have Big Endian where you would start with, like, 2018. So, like, year, month, day.
Yeah.
And then you could also have, you know, day, month, year. Or you can have, like, January 29th. 19 whatever,
right?
Like that would be a year, but that would be Middle Endian because the middle value, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to being big to little or little to big, you can do like start in the middle and then do whatever.
That's so strange. Yeah. So we do have both Little Endian and Big Endian. It's just Little Endian sticks in my head more because of the 10 Little Endian song, I think. round six, as Pink Girl mentioned, we're all like sci-fi and dystopian terms. So we have like singularity and groupthink and Cyline and Borg and Replicant. And I think that's where Android appeared. Someone in the Bee got out on Android because they assumed it was the Google thing and they capitalized
it. Oh, as opposed to just being Android as in...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So each of the... each of the slits of paper here, it has the term, the part of speech, some additional information, kind of like a definition, and then a strange example sentence from either movie dialogue or a famous quote from someone that's not necessarily technology related.
Mm-hmm.
So like we have the term dependency because of dependency hell.
Yeah.
Where things get messed up because of, you know, third party things.
Yeah.
And so I had that turn in there, dependency, because, you know, people might mess up. It's all ease, but it doesn't seem like it would be necessarily.
Yeah.
But the quote that I grabbed was David Attenborough talking about the dependency that a rhinoceros has to its environment and how you can't save a rhino if you don't save the environment that it's in.
Yeah.
So they're just a strange assortment of quotes and things. And then after that, things, again, just continue to get more difficult. So we have... Bazaar, because of the cathedral and the bazaar.
Yeah.
We have Animoji, which are the Apple emoji that just came out this year, where they move with your face.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was not aware that that was a thing.
Yeah, it's like your face is a cute unicorn, but if you like move your head around, it moves the way that you did. I don't know. But it's a real thing.
I think we're getting down the rabbit hole. I think we're just getting bored. We're like, what more stuff can we do?
Right. The saddest thing, I love pandas, and they have a panda animoji, and it is not cute. You're just like, how did you mess up pandas? This should be adorable. Round eight, I have example words as cryptographically and anthropomorphic. Anthropomorphic appears in the entry for Clippy. and Clippy was actually one of the terms earlier in the rounds. Which the audience really enjoyed as an example of, hey, it looks like you're trying to spell a word. Can I help? worked out pretty well. Then I have a round that were sort of longer terms, because a lot of times people get sort of overwhelmed by the length of words. So we had Uncanny Valley or improperly scoped cookies. just sort of like longer terms. I have spearfishing.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And then it sort of continues. So I had 14 levels of difficulty, and basically what I've learned, because I've been in a bunch of adult spelling bees in when I lived in Portland, there was a pizza place that had an adult spelling bee every Monday. So a friend and I went for about a year, and the worst thing that can ever happen in a spelling bee is that you run out of words.
Yeah, I would
because
expect.
You know it's not, you can't really run out of words. It's just you haven't prepared enough. So the whole plan in this version of spell check, we got to the 11th round. When I did a test run, we got to the 7th round. And then we're going to do this at DEF CON, so I'm very glad that I have extras, that we didn't reach them this time.
Yeah.
Because at the very beginning of the spell check bee, I gave out sort of rules and to say, here's how capitalization works. It's like shift key, not caps lock, so you have to mention every single time.
Okay.
If it's an acronym. But the very last rule is that the announcer may change the rules if two people are very difficult to eliminate at the end. Be like, spell it backwards. Spell as many as you can in a minute. Or, you know, something like that. So if you have any spelling gimmicks that you feel like would be a death round to finally determine a winner, I'm happy to hear them. If anybody wants to email style@bishopfox.com, I'm more than happy to hear your spelling bee round death, blue screen of death, basically. Is the kill screen. That's
the kill
what I'm
screen.
That's what
yeah.
I'm trying to... Not blue screen of death. The kill screen of spelling bees.
Yeah.
That's my only and greatest fear is that you
you'll
run out of
turns. You'll get to a point and you're just like, oh no.
Be like, spell my name. Like,
you could possibly, well, I don't know if that would necessarily be a guarantee, but you could have the rounds match however the max participation is, plus one, and get them just like, so then the last one just like egregiously long, whatever, all kinds of craziness.
Yeah, the only difficulty that I've found is the idea of having all the terms come from the guide.
Mm-hmm.
Like in obviously a lot of these are, you know, very very technical terms, and so you have to use sort of the correct terminology to discuss them. But I'm also sort of a plain language advocate, which is that, you know, people get confused with legalese in the same way they get confused with excessive acronyms. And so the guide itself, you know, I didn't intentionally put complicated terms in here in the entries. Like we have like one of the more difficult words that appears in the B, I would say, is facetious. But I didn't try to get it in there. Like, it's a fun word. It happens to have all the vowels in their order, which is like a fun word pack. But it's in there because we have an entry for a flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
And so we say the flying spaghetti monster is the supreme deity in the facetious religion of Pastafarianism, which was founded in 2005. So it's like, I didn't try to get it in there. So in the whole conceit is that every term in the spelling bee appears in the guide. So I'm a little bit limited on the strange things I can
spell,
but yeah, gotta add a couple more for DEF CON just in case. It's all about the preparation at this point, because I think it was a really fun time. I'd say the AV guy really got into it and was putting up random pictures of bees while other people were spelling, and then would play relevant goodbye songs and played sound effects. I actually had a hotel bell, which is the sort of classic spelling bee noise when people got it wrong. But when I talked to the organizers, they got very excited with the idea of having a gong. I was like, well, I'm flying, so I'm not going to bring a gong. But if you want to, you can. And they did. So we had a little crate with a little, like a, you know, salad plate sized gong and a mallet. I guess it was a genuine gong from Vietnam that someone had.
Yeah.
And so I would ding the bell, and then there was like, also the gong. You're like, okay. And then the gong. And then the AV guy would do like a third sound effect. It's like, all right, I think people know they're out.
I mean, you got to really drive it home though.
But yeah, with 14 spellers, I felt like we had some room to breathe and like have a little fun with it and do some banter, learn a little bit out. When people signed up, I had them give a name or a handle or something so I could just verify that they were wanted to be there and had a name for them. And then I also asked them to write down a word that they have trouble spelling or a word they've gotten out a B on. I think that was a segue.
Yeah.
I actually fell off a segue yesterday.
Really?
I did.
Ooh.
Yeah. My my left above ankle is a little bit mad. It was good. I'm glad I did it. I learned that segues are not for panicky people.
Yeah. that would be my assumption. I've actually never, I've been coming since Hope 9. I've never done the segues.
Yeah. I think I just, I needed to learn to turn before I learned to slow down. Because he was teaching me how to go forward, but I was really close to the wall. And I ended up going into the wall.
Oof.
So then I fell off the other way. That was the...
Yeah.
It was good. I'm glad I did it.
That's good.
If I'm ever in a getaway, now I know how to use it.
If you have an option, I don't think Segway is probably the way to go.
I don't
go.
Think it's my top option.
But that's
but
good.
I'm not, like, I'm better with tricycles than bicycles. I feel like just more balance is better. So, but now I know.
Now you know.
Yeah.
So you said off air, I think you probably mentioned it here. So the style guide really came out of your need or desire for having a style guide.
Yeah.
What do you think is probably your like favorite term in the whole thing? Like, is there anything that you find like particularly amusing or interesting that you either discovered or definitely like knew about when you were putting together the guide?
Yeah.
Anything
I think,
like that?
So as someone who is a member of the Dictionary Society of North America and the Wordnik Society, Wordnik, the greatest online dictionary in the universe, probably my favorite term is dictionary attack, just because it just sounds like such a mean book. so I enjoy that a lot. And actually, on the new cybersecuritystyleguide.com site, I'm going to have little blog posts about sort of word facts and clarifying terms and sort of an ask the editor section, and those posts are going to be called dictionary attack. so that one I think is very close to my heart for my great love of reference works. I just read a book called You Could Look It Up, which is about the history of reference works.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty fascinating because I figured I would just be excited about the 17th century and forward dictionaries.
Yeah.
But there's some really great chapters about like Bartlett's Quotations and Hoyle's Games and the Guinness Book of World Records and just all sorts of people that you hadn't really, you're like, oh yeah, that is a,
that
how did
a
that
reference
work?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Hoyle's Games is like intense. It's kind of an intense kind of thing.
Right. And so, yeah, like he published that like a million times. Like first it was Bridge and then it was Whist and then it was Bridge and Whist and then it was like it sort of grew out of but it was really just one guy. I assumed it was a company from the start and it was just
wait, so it was a guy?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
I assumed it was a
like,
company.
Obviously now it's a company.
I mean,
and
yeah.
But yeah, a number of these things are just one person.
So just like one person who is very much like this is a thing that needs to happen
because right.
It's going to be like this is I need, like, a list of all the rules for all these games.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, well, this is great. And then they were like, well, I guess I need to make a company to print this.
Right. And, like, honestly, that's... I gave a talk at CactusCon last year, which is on YouTube. If you look up CactusCon Chaos, you can watch it. It's pretty good. It's full of memes and such. But I mentioned that one of my heroes is Peter Mark Roget, who made Roget's Thesaurus. And... you know, you would think like, oh, what a smart man to make this giant book of synonyms. But the whole reason that he made it was because he was a really bad writer and he kept using the same adjectives all the time.
Yeah.
And so he's like, man, I just can't think of these. And so he loved making lists. And so he just started making giant lists. And now the joke is now the name Roget is literally synonymous with the thesaurus. So it's something where I really don't, you know, I don't know how to do a lot of these attacks, and I don't know how these vulnerabilities work at their core, but I read about them all the time, and I needed to know how to ask the right questions of our consultants and not waste time and make sure that our, you know, clients could understand what was actually going on. So, you know, I am not an expert in security, but I just knew I needed this, and I seriously refer to this every single day. Because it's just too many things to keep in your head.
Yeah.
That's kind of when you got to write things down. It's like, I can't remember all of this.
Yeah, like I'm looking at it from here, and I remember the term L10N, but I don't remember actually what it means.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a localization.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting kind of pattern of words that exists, because there's also...
There's L18N, isn't there?
Yes. For I18N, which is internationalization.
Oh, okay.
And they do a lowercase I, so it doesn't look like an L. And they do an uppercase L for localization, so it doesn't look like an I.
Which is nice.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
And then there's also accessibility, which is written A11Y. So it's just taking the number of letters between the first and the last. And then Kubernetes has that too, is a K8S. So it just seems to be a strange new way of shortening things. There are a lot of ways to shorten terms from the front or the back or the middle, but this is sort of just compressing it, and it's kind of adding like quotes to be like, there were terms here we didn't want to.
We didn't want to type them out.
Right.
So.
But instead of just using like an apostrophe like you would for a contraction.
Yeah.
It's just the number. It's somewhat helpful, I guess, for spelling to be like, I don't know how to spell accessibility, but I know there are 11 letters between A and Y.
I'm sorry. I'm looking in IRC and seeing if any of our listeners who are also on the IRC channel have any questions for you. So far, Mad Joe makes a joke that I18N, but spelled 18 in the middle as opposed to the numerics.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of useless redundancy. It's a joke that doesn't hurt anybody. Just like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It's clever and stupid at the same time. Thank you, Matt Joe.
Question for interview. Books. Have you ever read Freedom by Daniel Suarez?
I have not.
I have no idea what that book is. There's a link. I'm going to click on it. Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Hope it's not malicious.
It says barnesandnoble.com, so I'm going to trust them.
Okay.
What do you think was the hardest word in the spelling bee?
It's a good question. So the last couple of rounds, it is difficult to, you know, make a fair bee because everyone kind of has a different experience of the world and they haven't come across something. Web dev was actually kind of a difficult one that she did. Let me see, because I have...
Web dev or like web dav?
Web dev.
Dev with
yeah.
the A.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with capitalization, it goes up and down, kind of confusing way. What was the one? I may have taken it out. There was. So I had Dirty Cow, which is copy on write. And so cow is all caps, but a speller got out on that because it was a lower, they put a lowercase o in cow. I think just all of the, like, there's so many names for attacks. There's like billion laughs attack and bar mitzvah attack and evil twin attack. And like everybody has a name for something. Like we have Spectre and Meltdown, which were in there, although they didn't come up in the B. So I think it was more the sort of specificity of the name of a tool and the sort of random capitalization. But, you know, it didn't come up, but in the same round where the speller won, we had Kubernetes, which is a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
Especially because people can write it as just K8S. And in that version, I think it's the K is lowercase. So... In the sort of practice bee that I did within my company, the winning word was WYSIWYG.
That's a fun one.
Which is a fun one, but it is difficult because you have to, it's all capitals, and so you have to say like capital W, capital Y. And when our winner was doing it, you could sort of tell that he was sort of saying it again in his head every single time he went to a next letter so that he would do it in order. I think sort of the combination of random capitalization and sort of specificity. So I think someone got out on putty.
The oh yeah. Well, because it's capital P and then a little U.
Little
and then
U.
It's upper T, upper yeah. T, upper Y.
Right.
Because it's TTY.
Yes, because yeah. Teletype.
Teletype.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, right, and they're just named for, they're just so strangely named. I think the whole reason that this is, you know, this is legitimately difficult is first of all because it's sort of, all the terms that are in the security industry, they're not standardized. We don't have, you know, an academic institution that's saying, here's how to write things. It's mostly individuals or companies who are, you know, sort of deciding for themselves how to do it, and then sometimes they're inconsistent. Mm-hmm. I took a lot away from the EFF talk about border security yesterday, but one of the things I took away was that the company Grayshift makes a product called GrayKey. And Grayshift is capital G, but lowercase for shift.
Yeah.
And GrayKey is capital Gray and then capital K for key.
Okay.
So it's like, you're not even, you don't even have like a standard within yourself. So it's really hard to know. And like, you know, very famously, the referrer heading is misspelled. And so people have to keep spelling it that way because that's the way it's hard-coded in there. So it's just difficult with all this sort of individual variation. You know, it's basically like in skateboarding, like if you make up the move, you get to call it whatever you want.
Name it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that makes this really hard is that for the first time in English, a lot of words are being created written first and then pronounced. And that's never been the case. Like there've always been words that people pronounce incorrectly because they read them first in a book, like epitome for epitome.
Yeah.
But there's sort of a, you know, eventually someone will be like, hey, I think you mean epitome.
Yeah.
But in this case, there really is no, there's no way to go back to it because a lot of times the authorities themselves don't care or they have a discrepancy. Like there's a video of Douglas Crockford talking about Jason.
Okay.
But also saying, you know, Jason and saying, I strictly don't care. And then making a joke that it should be Jason. So it's like, if you can't even ask the creator...
Yeah.
And like, there's, you know, there's, and like, GIF and...
Yeah, and sometimes the creator's definitely wrong.
Right. And so...
Because it's definitely GIF.
Okay. Well, you fight that battle.
I will.
Send your messages to Beaches, not to me, about that. We actually have that term in the guide, and...
Does it bring it up?
I will show you what we put there. And so what we've done is acknowledge the controversy, but not chosen because if I did that, that's all people would email me about. And this is not the hill I want to die on.
I agree with you.
I'm a linguist. There are reasons for both. There's a good reason for the confusion. And it's not how I want to spend my time.
Okay. There's one more question and then we have to wrap up.
Okay.
So will there be another spelling bee, possibly at Hope 2020?
There certainly could be, yeah. I think, you know, I think a lot of people who signed up last night did it sort of as the last minute and had never thought about the style guide before.
Mm-hmm.
So, hypothetically, you know, people could just study in a bunker for 2 years and know every single term and, you know, what do you do if you get two of those? So, we'll see and, you know, maybe I would expand it to things outside of the guide to make it even more evil. But I had a great time. It seemed like people really enjoyed it. People are a little bit sleepy, little bit cold. It was midnight. But in general, I think, you know, there nobody knew what to expect because this was the first time.
Yeah.
It went really well. I'd be totally open to that. I am, as I said, doing this at DEF CON in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And the way to sign up for that will be on the Bishop Fox site and also through my Twitter account, which is E_Briannica, because I am Encyclopedia Briannica. but it was going to be on the DEF CON forums, but those seem to be down right now.
I have no idea.
I've been really having a great time at Hope yesterday and today, segue injury notwithstanding. So I'd love to come back, and if that's the reason to come back, I'm happy to host
awesome.
Again.
That sounds great.
I have more novelty bee and word earrings I can wear as a host.
Any last things that you want to plug, or do you want to repeat like the website
sure.
or anything like that? Again?
Yeah. So we just launched the site, which is cybersecuritystyleguide.com. So there's a searchable browser version. It's a little bit slow at the moment. We're working out some kinks, but you can also download version 1.1 as a PDF. I promise it's a PDF and not malicious because I made it and I I want you to have a nice time. I'm trying to help.
so go there
and check it out. I really, you know, this isn't something from on high. This is really listening to their consultants and listening to clients and going to conferences and hearing how people say terms. So we include a lot of variant pronunciations, and I'm more than happy to be wrong. So if you have any improvements, you can email style@bishopfox.com, and I will make amendments for the future. And yeah, you can bother me on Twitter. It's E_Briannica. And if anybody else has pictures from the bee last night, I'm happy to have them. I only have a couple so far. I was busy hosting. Got to take pictures.
For some reason, you were a little tied up.
So strange.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much,
Beaches. Our next guest is ready. So
excellent.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
And I'll probably see you later.
Thanks. All right. Thanks, Radio Statler. Thanks, Hope.
All right. Bye. We'll be right back. I'd say after these messages, but we don't have messages. So just pretend really hard.